Happy Tuesday. It's the College Tribe podcast on ESPNPensacola.com. I'm your host, Austin Price. You can find this episode of the podcast and all previous installments on our local podcast page, once again, at ESPNPensacola.com. And you can also listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. I'm a fibber. I said that we were going to do the show Wednesday this week, just like we have the past few weeks. And we would do the show this upcoming Monday after Selection Sunday. But we're doing this show on a Tuesday night, a day early, because on our sister station, News Radio 92.3, just a little over an hour ago, about 45 minutes ago, or excuse me, a little under an hour, 45 minutes ago, I had to break the college football playoff rankings, and I was livid. So I finished up the layout for this week's show that I was already almost done with, and I decided we'll do it tonight because I'm livid and you should be too. Here are the top 15. Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State. Those are your top 10. Number 11, Alabama. Number 12, Miami. Number 13, Ole Miss. Number 14, South Carolina. Number 15, Arizona State. If you listened to last week's show, first of all, thank you. Second of all, you will know why I'm upset. You will know what in those top 15 rankings upset me. And if you just have good knowledge of how the committee operates and how controversial it is, you probably, even if you didn't hear last week's, even if you don't know who I am, you probably have a decent idea of what's got me in an uproar. But don't worry, you don't have to wonder. I'll go ahead and tell you. My main gripe should come as no surprise. Alabama getting the nod over Ole Miss. As I said, I mentioned this last week. What in the world is Alabama ranked ahead of the Rebels for? Ole Miss looked better against Georgia. They looked better against South Carolina. They have the same record, and they haven't gotten blown out by anyone. In other words, they have done better than Alabama on statement wins. They have not lost any more games than Alabama, and they have been more competitively consistent than Alabama. And they are ranked behind them. They were last week, and they still are. And these rankings are very important. They're right before Selection Day. And the only thing that happens between now and Selection Sunday is the conference title games, which neither Alabama nor Ole Miss make. So they're probably not going to shift too much in the rankings. Alabama was one spot ahead of Ole Miss before rivalry week. They both won their games by double digits against losing rivals. Now Miami's between the two of them because Miami lost to a now-ranked Syracuse. But Alabama has now been given an extra barrier away from Ole Miss. They are now an extra notch above Ole Miss. Why? Why? Alabama's only nod is that they may have a better quality of losses in regards to who beat them. Ole Miss lost to Kentucky. Alabama hasn't lost to a team with that bad of a record. Kentucky finished 4-8. And they lost by a touchdown at Tennessee. Well, Tennessee's in the playoffs. So I understand that the quality of loss in regards to who beat you, yes, the nod goes to Bama. But that's largely combated by how badly they lost to Oklahoma and the aforementioned quality of win comparison. Ole Miss, as I said, looked better against Georgia and South Carolina, and those are the games that matter the most. And Alabama may... I mean, I'm stuttering all over the friggin' place because I can't make sense of this. Alabama may be able to say, oh, well, Ole Miss lost to LSU. We crushed LSU in Death Valley. Okay, Ole Miss beat Oklahoma by double digits. Oklahoma ran you off the field. I would rather take an Ole Miss with some slightly uglier losses but played more consistent and was competitive in every game and has more convincing wins over ranked opposition. I would take that team over a team with the same record that has ugly losses themselves, two losses to non-winning teams, Vanderbilt and Oklahoma, and in one of those games, they got ran off the gridiron, 24-3. And it's not just me that would take it. It's everyone. Everyone would take Team A over Team B. Blind resume, everyone takes Team A. Everyone takes them. But the committee won't. this is, once again, I mentioned it last week. There's SEC bias and there's Alabama bias. I'll give you a bit of a refresher if you don't remember what the difference is. The SEC bias is when a team like Ole Miss, for example, will get a nod over a non-SEC team. Pretty self-explanatory. If you're in the SEC, you get an extra layer of doubt. People will give you benefit of the doubt. They will give you a nod. They're going to say, oh, well, it's just so darn tough. It doesn't matter where your schedule ranks. It doesn't matter who beat you and how bad they did. It doesn't matter how unimpressive your wins are. You will be given the nod 99 times out of 100 over a non-SEC team. That will happen. It will. But then there's Bama bias. And that's when you look at those Ole Miss teams. You look at those Georgia teams. You look at the Mississippi States or the Vandys, any other brand in the SEC that could ever have a good season, ever, you'll always be passed up by Alabama because you're just not America's sweetheart Crimson Tide. You will never be the Dixieland delight. You never will be. You'll never have the houndstooth fedora that the committee keeps signed with lipstick in the closet. You'll never be that. You'll never have that connection. Alabama must have been the committee's first love, and they haven't been able to shake them. It is disgusting. It's disgusting. And I love how Miami is placed similarly as FSU was late last year. You remember that whole thing? The polls are allegedly all about toughness, right? That became a thing the minute Alabama was no longer deserving, by the way. That's why Bama was ahead of FSU on Selection Day last year. Oh, because it's all about toughness. And Alabama's visibly tougher than FSU. Okay. Then why the heck is Georgia still behind Florida State? You remember that? Bama was 4, Florida State 5, Georgia 6. Georgia had been unbeaten all year and was the top-ranked team, and they went toe-to-toe with Alabama on a neutral site. Yet, Georgia's visibly worse than Florida State, but Florida State's visibly worse than Bama? Why is Florida State the dividing line? Why is that the barrier between Alabama and Georgia? That was the question. Bama just seemed to coast right above that dividing line between when toughness matters and when deserving matters. How convenient. But at least Bama could sit here and say, hey man, we went to a neutral site in Georgia, the state of Georgia, and we won. We beat them head to head. We undeniably deserve it more. At least then you could say that. You haven't faced Ole Miss. You haven't faced Ole Miss this year, so you can't argue that. But Miami, when they lost to Syracuse and got exposed as frauds, which we all knew they were, when they did that, what did they do? They fell just enough to be visibly weaker slash less deserving than Alabama, but visibly tougher slash more deserving than Ole Miss. How adorable. And if you listened to the top 12, listen again. Oregon, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, Ohio State, Tennessee, SMU, Indiana, Boise State, that's your top 10. Number 11 is Alabama, number 12 is Miami. Miami's going to be taken up by the Big 12 champ, who right now would be Arizona State. So what does that mean? Bama's the last team in. Whew, by the skin of their nose. Whew, just barely made it. That's what that means. God, that's sickening. It's so gross. I've said it before. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. That type of blatant favoritism is going to be more detrimental to the integrity of this sport that I and millions of others love. Far more directly and far more severely than the NIL and the transfer portal ever could be. I truly believe that. You will do anything to get them in. No one else gets this kind of treatment. People were saying that last week. What the heck do you think they're saying now? Oh my goodness. Speaking of placement of ACC teams, another slight thing I noticed. SMU's ranked 8th. They play Clemson, lower-ranked team. Clemson's like 17th, something like that. If SMU were to lose, would they be kicked out? I really thought SMU was going to be, if they were to lose, I don't think they will. But I really thought that if SMU were going to lose, they would have a pretty sound argument to stay in. They would be 11-2, unbeaten in regular season conference play, their first year in the conference. They would have losses to two ranked teams, Clemson and BYU. I think both of those teams are in the top 20 today. Preferably, both losses would be competitive. I would like to hope it would be a competitive game. And if you were to be held next to someone like, say, Alabama or Miami, your argument would be, we have the same amount of losses overall, but we made a conference title game that y'all weren't good enough to make. Actually, excuse me, Alabama has a third loss. They're even worse than I'm remembering. I keep forgetting how bad Alabama is. Anyway, SMU, I think, would have a pretty sound argument to get in over someone like an Alabama or a Miami, even if they were to lose. But they're sitting eighth right now, and Alabama is getting all the love in the world. And Miami, apparently, is just good enough to be in the hunt, but just bad enough to be behind Alabama. So I don't know where the heck SMU would go. I really like to think that even if SMU loses, especially if they lose close, they have a pretty good argument to stay in. My goodness, if we've learned anything, brand and conference, the loyalty to that stuff, the blind loyalty to those sort of things, mean more than what you do on the field. Means more than how tough you look, how deserving you look. It means more than all of that at the end of the day. The committee will flip the narrative however the heck they please if they get in who they want, aka teams like Alabama. I don't even know if there is a team like Alabama. As I said, I name another team that would get that kind of love. I just can't. Sticking with the ACC theme, though, if Clemson were to win, as I said, they're like 17th now. Would they jump the eventual Big 12 champ? Arizona State is 15th. Iowa State is 16th. Clemson is 17th. I think they would. But once again, I don't know how the committee is looking at SMU right now. I think they were so blinded by their love for the Tide. I don't know what to make of the committee here. I mean, it doesn't really matter other than whether you get a first-round bye or not. It doesn't really matter over seeding. But I know that the ACC is being treated by the committee, at least so far, as of having greater teams than the top of the Big 12 has. The rankings dictate that. There are two ACC teams ranked before the highest-ranked Big 12 team. So if Clemson goes on a neutral site and beats the highest-ranked one, I would assume it would be enough to jump the 15th and 16th ranked teams who are playing each other. But I don't know. We'll just have to see. That's just something that crossed my mind. That took up 1% of my brain when I was typing this. I got my script here. When I was typing that, that took up 1% of my brain. It's just something to think about. The rest, the other 99% was taken up by blind rage. All right. I have been yapping for a while. This is a good time to remind you that the College Tribe podcast is brought to you by ESPNPensacola.com. You can find this episode of the College Tribe and previous episodes on the local podcast page at that same site, ESPNPensacola.com. Also, you can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. All right. Let's look at some of the Floridian representation. I already touched on one of them, the Hurricanes. Yeah, Miami's going to Miami, man. I don't know what you want from me. They lost 42-38 to Syracuse. They eliminated themselves from ACC title contention, seemingly college football playoff contention as well. Most likely, at least. As I said, I don't friggin' know. Well, how am I supposed to take this committee seriously? I do think Miami's fraudulent nature was exactly what countless fans and myself had picked up on throughout the season. I mean, I'm just kind of giving you a bit of a summary of what I've said about Miami all year when I say that. But it's true. I mean, you had a late start against USF. You struggled with Vatek, needed the refs to get out of that one. Yeah, you were down 25 to Cal, had to come back to win by 1 point. That was a controversial finish. You beat Louisville 52-45. I think that may have been a controversial finish as well. You were down double digits to Duke in the third quarter. You may have been at home for that game. And Duke is a very weak 9-3. They're 9-3, defied some odds, good for them, but their resume was very weak. Like, I think the toughest team they beat by record was 8-4 UConn. So, I mean, they were terrible. It was something like that. Their resume was very weak. And they were beating you by double digits in the third quarter. And then you lost to Georgia Tech. And then you hosted Wake Forest. You were coming off a bye. And one of the worst passing defenses in America had held you to 20 points almost halfway through the fourth quarter. Like, come on. You've been accused of stat padding in games. I've seen some of it myself. such as against like Duke and Wake, perhaps. It's pathetic. And the fans were so toxic. They talked all this snot about, oh, you know, they're so great. Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, if you're criticizing us, just sit back and wait. You know, this will all age well. You're right. It aged beautifully. Aged like a fine wine. I mean, it did. It aged phenomenally. Because you played Syracuse, who's another team with a good record, 9-3 now. But entering the Miami game, their resume, as far as the toughness of it, wasn't that impressive. They also beat UConn. I think they were also at home for that, just like Duke was. And similarly to the Blue Devils, Syracuse only beat them by one score. And then the very next week, Syracuse hosts Miami. Miami chokes a lead. Syracuse comes back from down, what was it, 21-zip? If it wasn't 21-zip, it was a 21-point deficit. They come back from down that much. They score 42, and Miami loses. Oh, gosh. It's refreshing. It really is refreshing. That's what I said all the way back when Vatek got jobbed by the ACC officials. That's why I said, don't worry, Vatek. You can take comfort in one thing. You've already exposed Miami, and others will soon follow. And that's exactly what happened. Miami's a good team, but they're a good ACC team. And there's a difference. There's a difference between a team that's just good or is good in the ACC. You're good against Wake Forest. You're good against Duke. You're good against Cal. You're good against Vatek. You're good against Louisville. The problem is you struggle in all of these games throughout the majority of them, if not them entirely. And then you lose to a five-loss Georgia Tech. Then you lose to a decent but very flawed Syracuse. You're good. Not great. Thanks for proving it. Florida beat FSU 31-11. No surprise there. I will say, I do want to touch on this because this was kind of a storyline that had a lot of people in an uproar. Florida and Florida State was one of multiple rivalries that got a bit dicey during the post-game festivities because Florida did what probably a lot of people by this point in the Saturday expected they would. They planted a flag at midfield, and of course, the Seminoles players did not take that lightly. A brawl started. And Mike Norvell was up in Napier's face. He didn't shake his hand. He grabbed the flag, threw it, blah, blah, blah. People are debating whether it's okay for Norvell to react that way or for the Seminoles to be such poor sports or if Florida was being jerks and Florida State just stood up for what was theirs. And that's all well and good. I don't really care about that. But what I do care about is the ignorance of the Florida fans. They a lot of them have really gotten in an uproar talking about what happened last year when Florida State beat Florida in Gainesville. Florida State, there was a photograph, I think it was of two players, I want to say it was Trey Benson and may have been Jared Verse, do not quote me on that at all, but two Florida State players were cutting up a piece of the turf. And they're like, oh, so Florida State can do this, but we can't plant a flag? And they tried to paint Florida State out as hypocrites. Shut up. Don't know what you're talking about. That is called the Sod Cemetery. That is a tradition. Florida State has done that with all kinds of teams in the past. It is not new. It is not exclusive to this rivalry whatsoever. It is not a personal attack. Even in the photos, the two players, whoever they were, that were collecting this piece of sod for the cemetery, they were not being theatrical with it. They were just sitting there politely cutting it up, and they were like off from everybody else. And I've heard, and I would assume this is true, considering how long of a tradition it is and how often Florida State's done it, but I've heard that they get local grounds crew permission every time to do that. So Florida State, in this photo that Florida fans thought was a huge gotcha, they were respectful. They were not showing off. They were just honoring a tradition that they've had for all kinds of teams. This is not just Florida. It's like for all kinds of going on the road stuff. It's like, I don't know the details, but it's not exclusive to Florida. And you think that is comparable to you guys grabbing a flag and planting it at midfield, something you haven't done for anyone else. And you've got everyone on the field celebrating right on the logo. Bam! Middle of the field. In some theatrical, antagonistic, attention-seeking stunt, you think those two things are comparable. Yeah, whatever, dork. All right, but beyond the big three there, USF and South Alabama, they had disappointing losses to Rice and Texas State, respectively. I think that left them both 6-6, so they're heading on to bowls. So a winning record is possible, but unfortunately, because of these losses, they're no longer insured. Meanwhile, everyone else that we typically touch on here isn't going bowling at all, I don't believe. I know USF, I think, lost to Utah, ended Utah's loss streak, and UCF finished, what, 4-8? I want to say FAU finished with a huge win over Tulsa, but that made them 3-9 on the year. So yeah, this could not have been a worse week for local slash Floridian teams. It was really bad. All right, some score predictions here. The slate's a bit more limited this week since it's just conference title games. So we'll touch on all of them, and I'll mention them in order of importance here, okay? There's some on Friday, there's some on Saturday. So on Friday, we got Boise State. They rematch UNLV. I have Boise State winning this game 23-10. I think it's a boring game, really. I've always felt that scores like that, 23-10, 21-10, 24-13, whatever else, I've always felt that scores like that suck because they have a two-possession edge, so the game's not really like tight-knit. It's not really neck-at-neck, but it's low-scoring, so chances are there's not many big plays in it. I've always hated scores like that. Going to be a boring game here between Boise State and UNLV. Hopefully Ashton Jeanty puts up another good stat line. But I think Boise State wants it to be boring. I don't think they want it to be entertaining. I think they just want to plow through this game and get to the playoffs. Because if I'm not mistaken, if they lose this game, UNLV may be the Group of Five team that makes the bracket. And right now, you have to consider that Boise State, with where they are placed currently, they're looking for a bye. Right now, they would get a bye. So, and that's the case, regardless of who wins the ACC, regardless of who wins the Big 12 title game, based on where teams are placed right now, Boise State is seemingly destined to get a bye if they just win. So playoffs, bye week, they're looking forward to that. Let's beat the snot out of UNLV and keep it pushing. I think that's what they want to do. Physical game, give me the Broncos. Tulane and Army. Okay, so once again, we're sticking with the Friday games here. We just touched on the most important one. Two more Friday games. Tulane, I got them beating Army 31-18. I think the Green Wave bounced back from their loss to Memphis. I think Army reminds everyone of what Notre Dame already exposed, and that's why the committee never believed in them. The committee never believed in Army because while they were tough against their competition, it was nonetheless their smaller, weaker competition. Notre Dame tried to send a message, and they did just that. And since then, Army hasn't looked too impressive. They've played, I think they've only played one game since then, but it was UTSA, I think it was. And I said that would be an upset alert for them because I think they're kind of deflated, and they almost lost a game. It was a close game. So I think Army, with how good Tulane's looked, I think Tulane's kind of going to pull away here. And I think Army's just going to, it's going to be another told you moment for the committee. And that's why everyone's going to look at them and say, wow, you're so smart. Last Friday game, Jacksonville State and Western Kentucky. Okay, so Jacksonville State just barely lost to the Hilltoppers this last weekend. It was like 19-17. So I just can't help but think that we're going to see like some polar opposite result this time around. That would just be so typical. I think Jacksonville State is familiar with Western Kentucky now. Rematch games are historically tricky, but especially when the first team just won and they won barely, I think Jacksonville State pours it on this game. All right, moving on to Saturday. I think this is the most important game of the Saturday based on how teams are ranked and what could happen as a result depending on the winner. I think the ACC title game is the most important. I thought it would be even more important if Alabama was still needing help to get into the playoff, but of course, they don't need help. But nonetheless, SMU and Clemson, as we kind of discussed earlier, it still does have some implications. It still does dictate where teams are going to be seeded, potentially. I've got SMU winning 33-27. I know SMU doesn't have the talent on paper that Clemson does, but SMU has already defied so many odds this season. Why can't they define one more? Why can't they defy one more set of odds? Yeah, I know Clemson's got the more proven coach. Yeah, I know their team's been an ACC monopoly. I get that. But they've been losing their grip. They've proven they can slip up in the past few years, but even this year. I believe in SMU, and I think they get it done, but I think they struggle a bit. But no one's going to care. Because, as I said, the story is just nonetheless phenomenal. Georgia, Texas. All right, so I talked about how tricky rematch games can be. Texas, I think, was an early favorite, at least as of yesterday in this game. despite losing by double digits at home to the Bulldogs. I've got Georgia winning again, though. I've got them winning 24-16. This was the toughest game for me to call. I just had to go with my gut here. Both teams are expected to make the CFP no matter what. I think that's especially the case with, I think, Georgia. What did I say they were? They're fifth, right? Let me check again. I believe, Georgia's fifth. They're fine. They could get beat up in this game. Because worst case scenario, they're going to, I have the same amount of losses to teams like Bama and Ole Miss, teams that beat them, but they're going to be able to say, listen, we only have that third loss because we were good enough to make our conference title game. Those two weren't. Not only that, but Texas beat us in Atlanta, but we beat them convincingly in Austin. Are you really going to kick us out now? I think the committee is already saying with Georgia's placement that no, they won't. So that was a tough game, but I really don't think it matters. I'll take Georgia to win by one possession, though. Then we got the Big Ten title game. Man, Ohio State, what the heck? What are you doing? Losing to, what were they? They entered that game like 6-5, right? Michigan? You lost at home 13-10 to Michigan? Dude, there's no justification for that. I want to say I discussed before coming into the season, I had taken the stance of, and I may have done this in one of the first episodes of the College Tribe. By the way, you can find that on your local podcast page, ESPNPensacola.com. I don't know if I ever went public with the take, but I think I did in some capacity, and that is, man, if Ryan Day can't win this year and he can't beat Michigan, he's probably done. He probably won't be their head coach in 2025. That was my take for for Ryan Day and the Buckeyes. And what do you know? He's got two losses now. He's not going to the Big Ten title game. He has lost four straight to Michigan. This was a team that he had no business losing to, and he lost it in such a pathetic way. 13-10? What a whimper to go out of with your regular season when you were looking like one of the favorites. Your only loss was to the number one team on the road by one friggin' point. Wow. I can't believe that. Either way, whatever. You didn't make the Big Ten title game. I think you're fine. I mean, you're fine either way. What are you ranked right now? You're ranked like sixth, right? Let me go back flipping through my paper here. Yeah, you're sixth. So you're just going to be sitting at home. You're going to be fine. People I've noticed in the media still believe that you are one of the toughest teams. And I think you are. Some people don't try to hold too much against you for rivalry games. But I'm sorry. That was inexcusable. That does appear to be the consensus in spite of all the positives that people are still trying to uphold about Ohio State. Wow, Ryan Day, you better shine in this postseason. If you get first rounded, man, you just thought you were in the hot seat. My goodness, you might actually feel a burn. Anyway, I got Oregon beating Penn State in the Big Ten title game, 28-17. Oregon's just too good, but again, both teams should be making the playoffs, no problem. Penn State's got nothing to worry about. Let's see here. Arizona State, Iowa State. Not much to say here. They're just too good, not great teams. Arizona State, I got them winning, though, 36. Iowa State, 26. I think Arizona State's just really popping off right now. They were a team that did not struggle with their rivals even remotely. Iowa State defied some odds for me beating Kansas State, but I don't know. I look at Arizona State, I think they're playing too good at football right now, but hey, it's not the first time I've slept on the Cyclones, clearly. So I don't know. Could be wrong. Either way, whoever makes it, you're not going to have a chance to win, but it's going to be a great story for you nonetheless, and it's really going to be a great story for Arizona State. First year in the Big 12, 3-9 last season. It'd be cool. So regardless of what happens, congrats, boys. All right. And these are just the last two that are taking place on Saturday. The MAC, Miami of Ohio, and Ohio facing off. I got Miami winning 26-24. Bobcats, they try to get revenge for October, but they have to go for a first down because they're out of field goal range. That is how detailed I got with this prediction. I think it's going to be 26-24. The Bobcats give Miami a scare. They're out for revenge over what happened in October, and they have to go for a first down because they're out of field goal range, and as a result, they don't get it, turn it over on downs, and lose a heartbreaker. Don't know why I got so detailed on that one, but I'm sticking to it. And then we got Louisiana and Marshall. I think this is going to be another good one. Louisiana and Marshall, two darn good teams this year. High-scoring game. I got to be in like 38-34. Both teams have good offenses this season. But Louisiana, they've just struggled less, and they have a better record, so I'll just take them to win close. All right. Now we're going to do something. Since we don't have any upset alert, since we don't have any last-second stuff to dig into, I'm going to do this as my sign-off. I have my playoff bracket for what I want, but also what I think we could realistically get, assuming that my predictions are accurate. All right? That's what we're going to do for this last segment here. But before I do, one last reminder. You're listening to the College Try Podcast with Austin Price right here on ESPNPensacola.com. You can find this episode and previous episodes on that same website on the local podcast page. And, of course, ESPN Pensacola, you can listen to it on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. All righty, here we go. Number one, I got Oregon. I have them winning the Big Ten, and they're already number one. Should be pretty obvious. Number two, I got Georgia, because, as I said, I got Georgia winning that rematch. Number three, SMU. Number four, Boise State. That's the way those champs are ranked right now, so I don't think that's too shocking, and that means number 12 is going to be ASU. So those are the conference champs I have, and that's how I have them being formatted. Pretty par for the course, pretty expected there. Predictable, I should say. Number five, I got Notre Dame. Heck, man, they're number four right now. They're ranked ahead of Georgia right now, so I don't think that's controversial at all. The committee clearly believes in them more than just about anybody else does. Number six, I got Texas. Man, you finish as an SEC runner-up your first year in what's supposed to be the toughest conference, and your only loss is to the conference's champion twice. That's your only L. That's the only team that's proven they can beat you. And you got that double-digit win at Texas A&M now. Texas is going to be fine at six. Number seven, Ohio State. Number eight, Penn State. These two, I'm kind of delivering them as a package deal here because Ohio State, once again, they're not in a conference title game. They're watching from home. They've got two losses, but I've got Penn State losing to Oregon by more than OSU did in Autzen, and OSU beat Penn State on the road. So I don't think it's controversial to say that Penn State would fall beneath OSU. Number nine and number 10, I've got Tennessee and Indiana. They're good. No one's really looking at them as contenders, especially Indiana. Nobody's looking at these teams as like, oh, look out for them. And I don't think you should. I don't think they're that great. But they've had great years. So nonetheless, you know, you're just floating around. Similarly to Ohio State, similarly to someone like Notre Dame, you don't have a conference title game to appear in, but you've done your part. The committee seems to be fine with you sitting around. So welcome aboard. Number 11. Ugh. Okay. Number 11, I do have it being Alabama, but not because I want them, but because that's just what I expected the committee to do after last week. After last week, when you put Alabama ahead of Ole Miss for no good reason, I knew that's where this was going to lead. And as I said, I think I mentioned this earlier, you both beat mediocre rivals. Not even mediocre, bad. Auburn finished 5-7. Mississippi State finished 2-10. You beat bad rivals by double digits each. So, like, there's not going to be enough to turn the tide there. There's not going to be enough to flip the script. There's not going to be enough with Ole Miss winning by 12 to put them ahead of Alabama, who's already ahead of them fraudulently, and Alabama just beat a 5-win team by 14. Like, that's just not going to happen. So, it should be Ole Miss at number 11. But the committee's already proven it. They've already confirmed it. I think Alabama's going to be number 11 instead, and I think Ole Miss gets screwed, just if you want the truth. And then, as I said, I got number 12, Arizona State. That's how I think it will unfold. But all in all, outside of the Alabama nonsense, I think it's perfect. I think that is a perfect bracket. I think it captures, outside of the Alabama stuff, I think it captures all that the bracket is supposed to be. I think that's what this is for. And, you know, I'll predict how it all unfolds next week once we have the confirmed bracket. But all in all, I'm happy with that. And I knew we could get something like this with this 12-team format. That's why I was looking so forward to it. So all in all, I'm happy, believe it or not. And hey, look, if the only thing I'm upset about is Alabama, that's fine, because Alabama's not going to win the friggin' natty anyway. I think that's been made painfully clear. You've been listening to a hate-fueled College Try podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price. I will see you Monday, the day after Selection Sunday. And I mean it this time. I mean it when I say I'm going to be on a certain day. I will see you Monday night, and we will tackle the final selection, final seeding, and we'll give our predictions on how the whole thing's going to unfold. See you next week.